Let's go ahead and just jump into the Word of God as we have much to cover today. And I'm excited to share the second part of this vision theme. I don't know how many of you have seen this. How many of you guys like this? This is great. Amen. We see this poster here, bold. We're going to leave it up there throughout the year because, as many of you know, this is our theme for all our HMCC churches, that we want to be able to step out in faith and boldness that Christ has given to us because of what he has done and accomplished on the cross for us on our behalf, so that now we can go out and do the things that he has called us to do with boldness. As many of you know, HMCC of Hong Kong, it was started with the vision to really see lives being powerfully transformed with the gospel message. And out of that transformation, we believe that you're going to be able to go out now, and wherever you are, whether it's in your schools, whether it's in your workplace, or even in your neighborhoods, wherever you are, that you will be able to bring that life-transforming message to that place that is so dark and in such a great need of the message of hope. And that's why we really need to live out this gospel message more than ever before. Just look around with everything that's happening around the world. I think many of us can testify, not just here in Hong Kong or Asia, but all over the world, you realize there's a tremendous need for the gospel message. Even what you see, I keep up with the news regularly of what's happening back in the United States. And with all the division, the racism, and everything that's going on, I realize that the gospel addresses it even in the book of Ephesians. It addresses it all throughout, even in the Old Testament, and the mission that God gave to the Israelite people and what they were supposed to do as they lived faithfully and obediently to the call of God. And as I think about that, I realize we need lives being transformed and the vision of transformation more than ever before. I don't know if you know, but right now, currently, there are 7.2 billion people in this world. Now, I remember last time it was like 6-something billion people, but now it's just blink of an eye, it's 7.2 billion people around the world. And I want to show you this map. If you think about it, some of you have seen this before, and we've been showing this quite a bit, but right here inside the circle, there are about 52 to 53% of the world's population that live inside the circle. And if you kind of do the math, that's about 3.8 2 billion people that are living inside the circle. Now, according to the United Nations, it is estimated that by the year 2050, so in close to about 30 more years, we will reach 9.6 billion people. And please, may none of them live in Hong Kong, because we're not going to have any more space. I mean, can you imagine? It's going to be 9.6 billion people. That's why many of you who have joined our church and you've been participating in our life groups and even coming out on Sunday, we've talked about how our vision is simply to multiply churches in campuses and in cities to transform the next generation among the nation. This is our vision. This is what we believe, that we're going to be able to share this gospel message to the rest of the world. And in order for us to see this vision become a reality, we have to start in Hong Kong. Now, I will say this as a confession. When our family and I and the team of people, we came together, we kind of knew the significance of Hong Kong. But the amazing part of God's revelation to us on a day-to-day basis, and even sometimes when you give us a vision for the future, you only get a glimpse. But as you begin to walk into that vision, as you begin to obey God, the vision becomes more of a reality, and you realize that everything that he was doing prior to you doing something, that he was preparing you, and he was also preparing the thing or the place. It's amazing how, if you go back to that picture of the world with that circle, you will notice, and this is something that I had no clue, that 53% of the world's population is in this circle until a couple years ago. That was after we decided to come to Hong Kong. And what was exciting for me as I was praying and God brought this revelation to us is that Hong Kong is right in the center of the circle. I mean, who would have known? Who would have thought? Unless you're someone dealing with geography all the time and population. But I had no idea. And there was something significant when I began to understand that Hong Kong, I knew was important, but I didn't know how important it was. and that it was in the center of this circle of reaching 53% of the world's population. And that percentage will continue to change and increase as we see more people coming into this world. And that's why I believe that reaching out to the different places in Hong Kong is something that we are committed to, especially the university campuses, and also the different life stages of the single adults and the married couples and the families here in Hong Kong. According to the 2017 report by the Hong Kong Census and Statistics Department, just so that you will understand the significance of Hong Kong and why we need to do what we're doing, is that there are 8 government-funded universities here in Hong Kong. And out of those 8 government-funded universities, that makes up close to 100,000 students just in Hong Kong. I want you to just think about that for a moment. That's 100,000 students that are here right now in Hong Kong. That's a lot of people. A lot of people who we want to reach out to and share the love of Jesus Christ. And a lot of people that we want to see their lives being completely transformed and training them to have a kingdom vision and kingdom mindset. So whatever they end up graduating with, whatever degree, whatever university, whatever field that they enter into, that it will not just be about making money and living a comfortable life, which is not a bad thing in and of themselves. But we're praying that you will do the things that God has called you to do. And part of that training is while you're in university, so that when you do get into the marketplace, that you'll make a difference. That's how we're going to see the world transformed. Did you know that there are 1.9 million singles in Hong Kong, according to the census and the statistics department? 1.9, that's a little under 2 million people right here in Hong Kong who are single, who are in desperate need of the gospel message. Some of them are single because of divorce. Some of them are single because of not being married. Some of them are a little bit older. Some of them are a little bit younger. But we have close to 2 million singles here in Hong Kong. And many of them are trying to pursue this life, and they continue to try to climb up this corporate ladder, and they realize only at the end of their life they've been climbing up the wrong side of the wall. Why they neglect so many other things that are significant in their life. I don't know if you know this, but according to the, once again, the Hong Kong Census and Statistics Department, it says there are 2.5 million households here in Hong Kong. 2.5 million. That's why we are committed to seeing families being raised up through our covenant ministry in our life group that we have for the married couples. That's why we're committed to raising up men who will be able to love God and love their families and love the things that God has called them to do and in obedience to Him. Raising up children, that's why we're committed to the building blocks. And I pray that we will not just give half-hearted claps. We want to cheer them on because they face so many difficulties growing up in this generation. There are so many more temptations than some of us face while growing up. And that's why we want to make sure that they understand that when they come to church, that they are people who are loved by God and loved by us, the people of God, that this is a safe place that they can grow and to know who Jesus Christ is. This is why we do what we do. We look at the harvest field and it's plentiful with 100,000 students in just these 8 universities, and let alone there are many others that are private universities here. We think about 1.9 million people who are single, who are lost and without the hope of Jesus Christ. We think about the 2.5 million households all over Hong Kong and all these flats who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's why we are committed and we believe that starting life groups is one of the key things to actually see some of these people reached with the gospel message. That's why we want to kind of show you once again in this revised map, and so that it will be very clear. I know some of you are used to that green map, but we're going to help you to understand once again as we revise it a little bit. We are reaching the universities by starting life groups in some of the 5 major universities. Now, that doesn't mean some of these other, some people are like, where's City U? Where's Baptist U? They're in there, but right now, what we're praying for is we got to first reach these because they're very strategic in location. But we will also reach out to some of these other universities. In fact, instead of complaining, maybe God's going to send some of you back to your alma mater. Okay, Jesus, all right? And so instead of complaining, pray and do something, all right? So these are the five universities because they're strategically located all over Hong Kong. And that's why we want to reach out to them. Let me get that. Thanks. And so what we're praying for, as some of you have heard this many, many times, is that we're trying to reach these universities because this is the next generation. That's part of our vision. But we're praying that as life groups begin to start here in these different universities, that it will begin to multiply. That's why we got to be committed to what we're doing right now. Those of you who are college students, you have to be committed to reaching out to other students because that's part of the vision of multiplication. As we begin to reach out to these universities, you will notice currently right now, concurrently, as we're reaching out to these universities, we are also reaching out to the singles and to the married couples. And some of you who might not know, right now we have a married couples group out here where the women meet. We have another group that meets over here in Polyu. And we have a single guy who's lonely right over here that is meeting on the island. Once again, if there's 2.5 million households and 1.9 single people here in Hong Kong, we cannot just reach the universities. We have to reach the single adults. We have to reach some of the married couples and the families that are represented in Hong Kong. And we're hoping and praying that it will not just be in these two locations or three locations. We need to see many more life groups beginning to multiply because one of the dreams and hopes that we have is this. How awesome would it be if we can actually see a life group in every single train station in the MTR? Some of you who live way out here, you're like, Lord Jesus, come back right now. Because you are always traveling all the way down over here just to go to a single adult life group. And that's why one of the things that we want to see is every single life group started in many of these train stations. Can you imagine all throughout the island, we have life groups all throughout all. Some of you are like, please let something start in Causeway Bay. Because there's a 10 rent. Right there. Can you imagine? That's going to be 10 rand. We're going to give 10 rand so much business because every fellowship, every single thing that we do there is all going to be there. Can you imagine? That's what we're praying right now. Lord, first reach the universities and the families and the single adults that we have right now in our church. But we're praying that we'll begin to multiply so that in every single train station that in the MTR, that we could actually see a life group. So that would be great because if some of you do work in Causeway Bay or even in Wan Chai or Admiralty, wherever you work, right after work, you can go to a life group that's right there. You can start reaching out to some of your coworkers and bring them out to a life group that's right there before you head on home. Just this is the vision that we're imagining, because when we do all this, you know what's going to happen? Get ready. We're going to see this. This is what we've been trying to encourage you with. We have to reach Hong Kong in order to reach the rest of the circle that we've been talking about. And the way we're going to reach Hong Kong, which this is these circles, as you could tell right here, they are representative of the different life groups, hopefully, that will be represented in these areas. And through it, we could actually start a church site. That we won't just have a church right here in Polyu, but hopefully we'll have a church on the east side of Hong Kong. And I know some people are praying really hard. I don't know if they're fasting or not, but they're praying hard that something will start up here. How awesome would it be if we could see a church in the island? How awesome would it be if we see a church up in the nice greenery and the high altitude area of CUHK? And I know some people who are way out here in the boondocks, in the brown line. There's a reason why they call it the brown line. But anyway, no, not that brown line, okay? See my spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is not the kind of stuff I'm talking about, because it's like land. Anyway, forget it. I don't want to talk about it. Some of us families, there's many families out here, and we're praying that God will do something powerful. Why is this important? Because once again, I want you to remember the greater vision that we talked about. Reach Hong Kong, and out of Hong Kong, we're going to be able to reach many of the cities that are in the circle. And you know why we're committed to this? It's because if you look at the circle, you will notice that right in Hong Kong, you could just take a 4 to 5 hour flight, and you'll reach the circle. I mean, I was thinking about the significance of this, and I realized how awesome it is. Because in the United States, you take a four-hour flight, you're just in a different state. But here in Asia, you take a 4 to 5 hour flight, even a 1 hour flight, even a 45-minute flight, you're in a different country. That's why it's significant. Not only is the church being started here in Hong Kong, but I think it's significant that's why you're here in Hong Kong. There's a purpose for this. And I believe that as we begin to reach Hong Kong, we're going to be able to reach some of these other cities in the 4 to 5 area, hour area, where it's going to be different cities and different countries. But ultimately, we would love to see the gospel being brought back to Jerusalem. As some of you know, the gospel message started in the Middle East, in that area where Israel and Jerusalem was. And Jesus Christ said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. The gospel began to go out west, crossed the Atlantic, and went into the United States, and even in North America and South America. And then it transferred over and crossed over into the other parts as we went through the Pacific. And that's why it entered into Korea and some of these other countries. And now the gospel is entering into China. And what we're hoping for is that the gospel will make a full circle and go back to Jerusalem where everything got started. And the reason why we are excited about this is God is even using the Chinese government, and they don't know this yet, but God is using the Chinese government to bring this about. Some of you heard about the Belt and Road Initiative that President Xi started. Bottom line is that they are trying to connect the world together using the old Silk Road where there was trade. And that's why if you look at this map, you will see here that all these different roads that they're trying to connect through the trains and through the railroads and the roads that they're building so that many of these countries now, we're talking about continents, can be reached. I don't think it's a coincidence that God is in this time, in this season, in this Kairos moment, is using even secular government to bring about his purposes so more people can hear the gospel message and that we will be able to take this gospel back to Jerusalem. That we will see lives being transformed. Let me give us an honest confession. As I think about this vision, as I kind of showed you some of these maps and diagrams, there are times when I'm just kind of sitting there in my office or just at a cafe, and I will say this in just honest confession, it is very daunting, very overwhelming. And in those honest moments, I think to myself, can I, as a pastor, lead God, your people, to be a part of what you're doing? There are times when I wonder to myself, like, how in the world are we going to achieve this? This is like beyond us, beyond the scope of the resources that we have, beyond the scope of the wisdom and the people power to do the things that we need to do in order to be a part of all this. It is very daunting. I'm also wondering, God, can we even see this happen in our generation? How many other generations before us talked about reaching the world and transforming the world? How in the world? What makes us think that in our generation, we're going to see this come to pass? And in some of those sober moments, I think about, do we as a church have radical followers of Jesus Christ who are willing to give up everything, sacrifice, lay it all down on the altar and say, God, here's my life. Do whatever you want to do with it. Send me wherever, even some of the hardest places where death might be even inevitable. Because we have already died to ourselves, but we are alive in Christ. Do we even have those kind of people in our church, Lord? How are we going to do this? And it's those times when I'm constantly reminded that we have to redirect our attention back to God, who is more than able to do the things that he has planned and purposed for us, and He's able to fulfill that in our lives, in our lifetime. That's why, as I've shared earlier, this year's theme is bold. And I'm praying, and the leaders are praying, and hopefully many of you are praying with us, that as we look ahead into the future, as best as we can, and as God speaks to you and He opens up opportunities, that you will be able to step out in faith and not be overcome by your own fears or your own struggles or your own weaknesses or your own inadequacies or whatever insecurities that you have, that you will be able to put your attention back on God and to be a part of what He's doing to transform the world. That's why in this two-part series, if you remember, those of you who are new today, we talked about last week of just being bold and how through God's greatness, He gives us His boldness to live out the fullness of life. And that's why I mentioned how we have to be bold in God and then behold God's glory. Today I want to close out and talk about having boldness by prayer. And this is where we have to start. As we think about all the stuff that God has placed before us, it has to start with the life of prayer. So let me give us the one thing. The one thing is simply this, that we have nothing to fear as God is near and His purposes are clear. That we have nothing to fear as God is near and His purposes are clear. I'm going to talk about two things as you turn quickly now to Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31. If you don't have a Bible, you could read with somebody next to you, or you could just listen as I will be reading verse by verse. Acts chapter 4, verse 23, all the way through 31. And I'm going to talk about two specific things to help us to remember that we have nothing to fear because God is near. He's near us. He's present. He's God Emmanuel. And then through that intimate relationship with Him, we're going to be able to clearly understand what His purposes are. So there are two things I'm going to highlight for us as we look into this passage. The first thing is this, that prayers inspire our boldness. That prayers inspire our boldness. As we start off this section, we have to see it in connection to what was happening earlier, all the way in chapter 3 and the earlier parts of chapter 4. Let me try to highlight this for us. If you look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, you will notice that this is the healing of the crippled man who was begging Peter and John and some of the other disciples to give him some money, and he was begging. And Peter says, "Silver and gold I have none, but what I have to give unto you is in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. Take up your mat and walk." And you notice that this man was healed instantly. And people were amazed. And can you imagine that here you are on the street and this man that you've seen every single day begging for money, all of a sudden he stands up and he begins to walk. People were astonished as they gathered around this man. And then you will notice in chapter 3, verse 11 through 26, that Peter and John began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That it's not only about the physical healing, but it's about the spiritual healing that we need in our hearts, because we have been separated from God because of our sin. And through only Jesus Christ, we can be made right with this holy God. So they began to preach the gospel message. And then as we turn to chapter 4 in verse 1 through 22, you will see that Peter and John were preaching the gospel. And that's when the Jewish leaders came and arrested them. So I want you to try to put this in context, that they healed this crippled man. People started gathering around them because they saw this miracle. They began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that their hope is found only in Christ and Christ alone. And then the Jewish leaders came and arrested them. What you will notice is that when they were arrested in the earlier parts of chapter 4, Peter and John were questioned why they were doing what they were doing. See, that's what happens all the time. And let me just kind of say this. Like, when people don't really know what's going on, they're going to ask, why are you doing what you're doing? Why did you come all the way from the United States to start a church here in Hong Kong? Why? Why did you give up that job, that awesome dentistry job, to come all the way over here? Why did you forego grad school and all the other things that you can do, live a comfortable life, and why did you come? Why are you spending so much time in this thing called life group? That's what your parents will start asking. See, what happens is that when God begins to work in your life, and even in our church, people are going to be wondering, why are you doing what you're doing? Because it is so foreign to them, because they themselves are not experiencing what you're experiencing. Why do you read the Bible? Why do you pray? Why are you ethical in your business practices? Why don't you cheat or do these other stuff that everyone else does? Why is it that you're different? Why is it that you come on time and you stay and you work hard and not work on watching YouTube videos as you're working? Why is it that you come to class, you don't miss class, and you study hard, and I see you also busy, and you know all these other people, and something about you is magnetic, it's drawing people towards you, and I want to know, why is it that you do what you do? And then Peter and John respond to the Jewish leaders that were amazed at what was going on. Listen to what it says in chapter 4, verse 3, in the New Living Translation. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness, that's the key word, of Peter and John, for they can see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. What a powerful thought. Here we are in this world thinking that, oh, we need that degree. We need that internship. We need that exchange program. We need that job opportunity. We need that promotion. We need that thing in our lives so that we can get ahead and do all these things. But they had no education. They were ordinary men. And I want you to listen. The last phrase is what's key. They realize that they have been with Jesus. There is something powerful about your life that people will notice, not because of your degree, not because of where you come from or what you do, it's because you have spent time with Jesus. I don't know about you. Those of you who couldn't get into Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, and all these other schools, there's hope. I know somebody who took a class at Harvard Business School, and they were able to get a harvard.edu email account. They didn't graduate. They didn't have a degree. They just got the account. And so now, whenever he wants to apply for something or kind of introduce himself, he always uses that email account. In Asia, it works really well. That's why they have all these certificate programs you can get at Yale and Harvard and Princeton and all these other universities, and you just took one class. It's like literally you stepped in there, went to the first class, oh, it was boring, and then you didn't go at all, and you get a certificate. Because that's all you need on your CV, isn't it? Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford. It's closer to Asia anyway. So that's all you need, right? Think about it. I was just thinking about this. It would be so awesome and so easy if we could just put the right things on our CVs. I'm wondering if we had a spiritual CV, a spiritual resume to just simply say, spend time with Jesus. And that's what makes you socially and emotionally intelligent. That's what gives you greater compassion. That's what gives you a greater understanding of yourself. It's not the degrees. Please don't misunderstand me. Get your degrees. Do whatever you need to do. But some of us, I realize our priorities are so flipped upside down that it's completely, we put Christ and spending time with Jesus somewhere on the bottom of the list, and it's all about what we can do. And that's why you try so hard, and time again, you get disappointed over and over again. When was the last time before you went into a business deal, you prayed and you're asking God, Lord, I'm asking for your favor. Not for myself so I can get a lot of money, but Lord, that it will give me an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When was the last time before you went into that exam or maybe just doing that project with some of the other students that you were praying, say, God, give me opportunities to be a good witness. Give me an opportunity so I can share the gospel with them or even invite them to some of the things that are going on in our life group because I believe that they need this hope in their life. I already had a conversation with them and they were just lost and they just don't know the purpose in life. I'm wondering what would have happened with the result. And I'm not saying it's all about the result, because it's about the process, what God does in your heart. He humbles you. He refines you. He puts that motive in check. Then the Jewish leaders told Peter and John not to speak any longer about Jesus. This is the amazing part. And then Peter and John responded by saying, look what it says here in 19, verse 19 and 20, the Message translation in chapter 4. But Peter and John spoke right back. Whether it is right in God's eyes to listen to you rather than to God, you decide. As for us, there's no question. We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. We just can't. What we've experienced, what we saw, what we have experienced and heard about, we witnessed it ourselves, we just cannot stop talking about it. And this is when we come to chapter 4, verse 23. And I'm going to pinpoint really quickly here two specific things about how our prayers inspire boldness. I hope you understand the context now. And now as we read this passage, it's going to have a significance. The first thing that I want to highlight as we talk about how prayers inspire boldness, I want to talk about why it does that. It's because it puts our focus on God. The reason why prayers inspire boldness is because it puts our focus on God and not on ourselves. Let's read verse 23 to 24. This is what the Word of God says. You can just listen if you don't have a Bible, or you can read along with me. It says this. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported that the chief priests and the elders had said to them, and when they heard it, they lifted up their voices to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Let's just pause here as we look at their prayer. As Peter and John returned to the other disciples, they were released by these religious leaders and they said, stop doing what you're doing. And they said, we can't help but to talk about what we have seen and heard. And what do? They go and share with the other disciples, their other friends, of what's happening. And what is the first thing that they do? In verse 24, we see that they lifted up their voices and prayed. They began to declare how God was sovereign in their lives. They acknowledged that God, who created everything, was totally in control. This is the part that's so amazing about their prayer, is that the first thing that they decided to do was not to complain, but they prayed. But as they prayed, the early believers, they knew that God was a God who was fully in control of all things. Let me just pause here and say this. There will be times in your life, and some of you are so young right now, you just don't know yet. And some of you are young, but you've gone through some tremendous things. I understand. But I'm telling you, as you get older and older, there will be things in your life that you're going to go through that it literally seems the whole world has been pulled under you. And you wonder to yourself, God, are you really good? God, are you really in control? You're going to start wondering this. You're going to start questioning this. And in some ways, it's not a bad thing, because it's strength. It's questioning your faith. It's helping you to doubt things that will help refine what it is that you really believe. Do you really believe that He's good? Do you really believe that He's in control of all things? Even though the whole world around you is collapsing. When everything that you've ever hoped for, everything that you've ever dreamed of, does not even come true. I'm wondering, when was the last time you saw your situation or your circumstance in such a way that you believed without a shadow of a doubt that God was in control? Now, if you get an A in that exam, if you get that promotion in that job, yeah, God is totally in control. Oh, praise you, Jesus. I'm talking about when things are hard, when everything around you is collapsing. Because anyone could praise God when things are good. But I'm talking about when you're physically ill, or something happens to someone that you love, or circumstances that are overwhelming that you just know that you have no control over the situation. Relational conflicts, whatever it may be, in dire situations financially or whatever it is that you're facing in your life, that you still believe that God is sovereign, that He is literally in control of the whole world, and that He knows you, and that He loves you, and that He's doing what He's doing because there's a purpose behind it. I'm wondering how many of us can lift up those prayers. Oh, sovereign Lord, You who created all the heavens and the earth and everything on this earth, You're still in control. I will still trust in You. This is what the disciples did. That's why they had such incredible boldness in their lives, because they just knew that everything happens for God's glory to be magnified. And they said, God, so be it. If this is what it's going to take for me to love You and to honor You and glorify You, they put the focus back on God. Another thing you will notice is that when we pray, it begins to inspire boldness, not only because we get to focus on God, but it puts our faith completely on God and nothing else. Let's read verse 25 through 28 quickly here. Listen to what it says. It says, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. As the disciples were praying, they quoted Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. That's where that part comes from. And that Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it was a prophecy of the anointed, talking about Jesus that was to come, the Messiah that was to come. And that's why they knew that it was part of God's plan that they would have to face hardship. Because the Messiah, the anointed one, was going to go through suffering and difficulties. And the believers felt that the people who were against them were the same ones that were against Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one. So it's almost as if the scripture that they knew in the Old Testament was the very thing that became into fulfillment. So they realized that it's no longer about them, but it's about God and having faith in His word that is coming to pass. That's what faith is all about. A lot of us, when we think about faith, we think about it's just closing your eyes and just jumping over. That's not it. Genuine faith is when you believe in what God says to be true and then you act upon it. That's why the more you know scripture, the more you know the Bible, the more you are going to be able to then, as you pray, put your focus on God, and then you don't put your faith in people or other things or circumstances to be perfect, but you put your faith in God and in His word, and that's why you can step out in faith. That's how you're going to get bold in whatever it is that God is calling you to do. Once again, in verse 28, you see, the disciples, they did not pray for the circumstances to be changed. Rather, they asked God to accomplish His will in their lives. Powerful. So often when we pray, we always pray for the circumstances to change. Lord, get that person out of my life. Please get them out of my life. Oh, Lord, help me get that A. Oh, Lord, help me get into that school. Oh, Lord, help me get that job. Help me get that promotion. But they prayed that God, may Your will be accomplished in our lives, even in the midst of the situation. If this is what we need to go through, so be it. I love what Philip Brooks said and Emily Barnes in her book, More Faith in My Day. She ends up quoting Phyllis Brooks, and listen to what he wrote. Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. What a great reminder for us that what we're asking God to do is, Lord, make us stronger. Make us stronger because life is hard. Make us stronger so we can go through it with grace and with Your strength. And don't always pray, Lord, just give me this much what I can handle, but Pray for God's power to do the things that He's calling you to do, calling us to do as a church. It just seems overwhelming for us, but we pray for what He has put in our hearts because only God can do it. How about us this morning? I'm wondering if some of us are crippled in any way because of our fear or our lack of control over the situation. You're literally paralyzed. You can't even make decisions. Pretty much you lay in bed and you feel so depressed. You don't want to get up. You don't want to go to work. You don't want to go to school. Because you put so much focus on yourself. And your faith is not in God, but your faith is placed in so many other things. And you're waiting for the circumstance to change. It might never change. That's what we got to start praying. Say, God, help me to focus on You. Help me to put my faith in You. That's what inspires that boldness to be able to do what no human being can do, but only God can do. I'm wondering how our prayer lives are. Maybe some of the things you're going through is because God is wanting you to pray. The second and last point is this. Prayers not only inspire our boldness, but as you begin to pray, you know what happens? It will start increasing this boldness. It will literally be charged 100% and you're going to be able to obey. See, sometimes we need some inspiration for us to say, Lord, I want to do this. And then as you begin to pray, what happens is that you begin to get strengthened and that boldness will begin to increase in your life. As the disciples continued in their prayer, we see that their boldness began to increase. Let me mention a couple things about this as we close off in this section here. There are two things we need to have to increase our boldness. The first is this. We need God's perspective. Look at verse 29. Will you with me in verse 29? Listen to what happened after they prayed. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to Your servants to continue to speak Your word with all boldness. This is just incredible. Because once again, as they were praying earlier and they're finishing off this prayer, you will notice they ask God to look upon their situation. But they did not pray. Once again, they did not pray that it will go away. I don't know about you, but if it was the SKV, I would be like, Lord, please take this away from me. I mean, I would be praying that. I don't like the situation. I don't like this person. I don't like this circumstance. I don't like what You're doing in my heart. I don't like what's happening around me. But all they're praying for is not these situations to go away, but instead, what do they pray for? We just read it in verse 29. It says, grant to Your servants to continue to speak Your word with all boldness. The Message translation says, give Your servants fearless confidence in preaching Your message. That's what they pray for. Instead of, God, take this away, they pray, God, give us fearless confidence in preaching Your message. Instead of praying for the circumstance in your life to change, why don't you say, God, may You be glorified through my life. God, through this weakness, or through this insecurity, or through this illness that I'm facing, or through this situation, through my family, through whatever I'm going through, God, may it be a witness to the whole world that You are the only one that can heal. May it be a witness that when people see in this kind of situation that You're the only one that can intervene, that You're the only one who could bring joy. You're the only one that can really transform lives. That You're the only one that is worthy of putting all our hope and trust. What would happen to your life, to my life, to our lives here as a church, if we can actually pray those prayers? Once again, the disciples knew that it was not about them. It wasn't about their comfort. It wasn't about their safety. It wasn't about their own dream. It wasn't about their own priorities in their lives. Because they knew that it was about God's glory and His kingdom. And the priority of going to the ends of the earth and making disciples of all nations. That's why they prayed what they prayed. Just give us more boldness, Lord. So here they are as they're inspiring this boldness in their lives, as they began to see the situation for what it is, as they focused on God, put their faith in His word. What happens? They see we see here they're praying even crazier prayers. Not only God's perspective, you know what we need? As we think about prayers that increase our boldness, I think I'm praying that all of us, someday or to some extent, experience God's power. You know, I think for some of us, we are practicing atheists, confessing Christians who are just we believe in things, but we don't really believe in it. Like if I were to ask you, don't raise your hand, I'm just hypothetically asking, let me just ask on the side here. So do you believe, so I'm not looking at you, so because some of you who are, you know, either sleeping, you're like, oh, huh? He's asking me a question, okay? So do you believe that God can change lives? I think all of us will raise our hand. Do you believe that God can heal? Do you believe that God can genuinely transform or heal that bitterness in your heart? Do you believe that God can do all this stuff? I think all of us, intellectually, we will assent to this and say, yes, I believe. But the problem is there are many of us in this room who have yet to experience it powerfully that we do believe and we're actually proclaiming it to others because he has changed my life, he could change yours. Do you believe that the gospel is the only hope of the world? If you have hope in all these other things and Jesus is not your everything, then you can't say that with conviction. That's the same way with God's power. We believe he can do this, but we haven't experienced it. So that's why I'm praying that many of you will experience his power in such a tangible way that you can say, yes, he can do it. That's why when they were praying, they prayed that God will perform the signs and miracles. They were asking God to unleash his power so that there would be healing and miracles that would happen. And that's why people, in that way, they would see the greatness of God. They lifted up their prayer, and look what happened in verse 31. We will see that as they prayed, the whole place was shaken. Look at verse 30 and 31. It says this, "While you stretch out your hand to heal, the signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." You see that word again, the key word of boldness. Amazing. The reason why we have to take note of this is it's very similar to what happened in Acts chapter 2 during Pentecost. When they prayed, tongues of fire came and the whole place began to shake because it was like wind that came through and blew into this room and it shook the whole place. Very reminiscent. The shaking of the place was probably designed to awaken and to raise their expectation that it will be God who will be able to accomplish his purpose and his power. See, there are times when God does the supernatural just to remind us that we are in the natural and only God is in the supernatural. Amen? He is doing things. And we need to expect him to do things because some things, human beings, we cannot do. This is why it's so important to our situation and the vision that God has given us as a church. Let me just quickly here as we close. For the things that I shared earlier that we're aspiring to do as a church, we're not going to be able to do this without God. And therefore, it's important for us to pray so that our prayers will inspire and increase our boldness. I'm hoping that from today on, until we come up with a new theme for the next year, that there will be so much of the prayers from our hearts that will be sowed into our church, that the things that we talked about, which just seems almost ridiculous if we were to share it with anyone else, that we'll slowly see some of these things come to pass. So I'm going to pray, and I'm inviting you to pray with me for God to do some amazing things. I love what St. Augustine said. He said this, "Pray as if everything depended on God, but work as if everything depended on you." So yes, we pray, but we also have to do our part in human responsibility. And we want to work hard. We want to be diligent in the things that God has called us to do. But ultimately, we know it's not by our own efforts, That's why we have to totally depend on God through our prayers. So what I'm going to do right now is just briefly, as you were there last week, those of you who were here last week, we laid out the goals. And it's important, it's just important that we talk about this because, listen to me carefully, it's because without any goals, you're not going to hit anything. The reason why goals are important, some people are like, why do we need goals? Why does church even have goals? What's wrong with you guys? We're not a business. We're not. I agree. But the reason why goals are important just in life or any organization, profit, nonprofit, is because goals help us to hit a target, to get us to the very destination that we feel like God is calling us to go into. Another reason is because it helps us to measure our progress, because our hearts are so wicked, it is so easy to divert away from what God has called us to do. So having a goal helps us to measure our progress. Are we moving closer to what God has called us to do? Another thing is this, it helps us to celebrate. Part of being a church family is that we celebrate together, and we know that when God accomplishes something that we have set our hearts on because we prayed, then we can celebrate together that God has done this, not us. Because it's so easy for us to forget. That's why God always told the Israelite people to always remember, to remember. And we want to remember that as we have these goals before us and as we're taking steps of faith, that it's God who's leading us. That's why we need to set these goals. And just so that we're clear, we didn't randomly come up with this number. We didn't put up numbers in this and stick it in this paper bag and play this bowl game. What we did was pretty much amongst the executive team, we were just coming together and we spent some time in prayer. We're asking God, we're trying to listen to His voice. We used data from last year, the last 2 years, how God was moving. It was like, God, what is it that you want to do this year? How is it that you want us to fulfill our mission and vision as HMCC of Hong Kong? And as we began to share, we began to share what God placed in our hearts. And it's amazing when you know it's a God thing, when the numbers or the things that we're trying to shoot for as goals, everyone is in unison because that's what they came up with, even without even talking. So there were some numbers that we were all on the same page and we're like, this must be from God. There were other numbers we had to talk through because we were like, is it really realistic? Is it going to discourage us or is it too easy? And then we think that we're so great when we're not. So through a lot of prayer, we came up with these things because these are our values. And when we live out these goals, we're going to see our mission and the vision being accomplished. And if we can see this vision become a reality, that's when we're going to reach Hong Kong. When we reach Hong Kong, we're going to be able to reach the circle and start churches in all these other cities around in that circle. And from there, we want to send people out back to Jerusalem so they can bring the gospel message full circle to the ends of this earth. So we're going to put it up here so that you know. And like I said, we're doing this because we want to keep accountability. That's another reason why you have goals. So there's accountability. So that some of us who decide to be lazy, or maybe if I just decide, you know what, forget it, we just have to do something else. They say, no, Pastor, we were praying through this. This is what we've agreed in our spirits, and we want to do this together. And so one of the things that we want to make sure we understand is we're using the SALT command, which is the SLTCMMD, which are 7 values in our church. One of the things we value is a spirit-led ministry. We are praying that 80% will be learning the chiral circle. We're going to be teaching that over and over again. Those of you who have no clue about it right now, don't worry about it. We're going to be teaching you. So we want to see at least 80% of the people in our church learning how to do the chiral circle, listening to the voice of God, and then obeying. And then 70% living by faith. Some of you are like, well, why would you learn it and then not do it? Well, this is life. I was thinking I should preach the same sermon until everyone obeys, right? This is life. But if we can say 80% of the people in our church know it, and we're actually seeing 70% of people doing it, that's a huge chunk of people who are listening to the Holy Spirit and living life by faith. The next trait that we have is leadership development. Right now, we have 21 leaders in our church that are leading all our life groups. And we're praying as we begin to look ahead to seeing the multiplication of life groups in our married couples, to our single adults, to all the different campus leaders. In order for us to multiply, you need new leaders. And that's why we're praying by the end of April 2018, we will see 15 new leaders being raised up here in this church so that we can see more life groups being started all over Hong Kong. And as you know, it's not going to be an easy thing. Because leadership is not something you just want to do. I mean, there are certain responsibilities and things that are commitments that you're going to have to make. But we're praying that God will raise up those people. Another thing we're talking about is transculturalism. And that's a value in our church. That's why if you're not uncomfortable, or let me rephrase it. That's why if you are comfortable in our church, there's something wrong. I always tell people, if you're too comfortable, something's wrong. You're like, what? Isn't it the other way around when it's uncomfortable, something? No. If you're comfortable, something's wrong. Because then you're not being challenged. You're not living out the faith that God wants you to live. And that's why to have a church filled with people who are third culture and second culture and expats and those who are from local Hong Kong to intermingle together, oh my Lord, it must be Jesus. Because what is our natural tendency? We want to speak Canto to people that we can speak Canto to. Oh my God, thank God I can speak Canto. Well, just try to imagine like translation in Canto. They're talking in Canto, but I'm just translating for you. Oh my God, thank God we can speak Canto right now. Oh my God, because all I do every single day with this church is speak English, and I hate it. You know, just all that stuff. And then you get the Putonghua speakers, and you can always tell who are from Beijing, and those who are from the southern parts or other parts of Beijing, and here they are speaking Putonghua. And, you know, you're just standing there because you don't understand Putonghua, and you're like, hi. I do exist. I'm breathing. I am alive. And there are some of these guys from the States or whoever, and they start talking so fast. And not only do they talk fast, sometimes they use words that are beyond your comprehension. It was not in the SAT exam that you took. And here you are just like trying to listen and understand, and there's so many misunderstandings. That's one thing about hard about the English language, because as soon as you say hot, hot, there's a lot of different meanings. Like spicy hot. Like temperature hot. And all the other hots. There used to be a website that used to be called Hot or Not. Okay, now we're going to have a high increase of search on Hot or Not. Anyway. That's the problem. And there's going to be so many misunderstandings. You're going to be uncomfortable. Why are they always speaking that language? Why do they talk like that? Why do they do that? But that's what we believe in. And that's what we're praying, that we will see more people who are from Hong Kong. Right now, we have 13% who are from local Hong Kong. Can I just say, those of you who are from local Hong Kong, you lie a lot. Because every single time I talk to local Hong Kong people, and I go, oh, do you speak English? I go, oh, no, not good. And all of a sudden, they start speaking. I'm like, liar. And I realize what they're trying to say is they don't feel comfortable speaking English. But they're not bad. They're good. And I want to challenge some of you who are local Hong Kong to invite some of your other local Hong Kong friends. And say, it is hot in HSCC Hong Kong. Temperature hot, okay? We're praying that we will see 20%. We're praying the second culture. Still, we're an international church, so this is a global city, so we're going to see probably an increase of second culture. Right now, it's 69. That doesn't mean we want to kick some of you guys out to make it 60, okay? I just want to make sure we're clear on that. You're welcome to come to our church. We're glad that you're here. But when some of you are thinking, why are we decreasing it? Are you going to kick us out? No, what we're doing is we're going to try to increase the other numbers so we can have a better balance. And then the third culture, which are the people that I believe play such an important role. You've studied abroad. You're people who understand the Western and the Eastern culture, and you're going to play an important role in our church. So let's quickly move to the community. 15 life groups. Right now we have 8. We're praying that we'll see 15 by the end of April. 90% of church in life groups. Right now is 76%. We're praying 90% that most of you will be part of our life group. And then 90% experiencing the love, investment, faith, and enjoyment. The M is ministry inside and out. We want to see 40% serving in ministry teams. Right now it's 37. Today we have a ministry team meeting. Hello. You know, can I just say this? The worst is when you're in a boat. And as you're afloat. And there are some people who are just sitting there doing nothing. And everyone else is rowing really hard. I pray that all of you will get involved. If you're already are a member, a covenant signing member, take experiencing ministry, get involved. We want to see this number increase to about 40%. We want to see 3 new ministry teams. My goodness, praise God. Right now we have 4 different ministry teams. But one of the ministry teams, you can make it into 5 different ministry teams, but they're all one team. It's just called media team. Come on, let's give a hand to the media team, amen? I'm always asking them, what do you guys do? And they give me this look like, if you ask me again, I'm going to kill you. They have that look. I'm going to kill you. Because you know what they do, the media team? They do anything from like taking pictures to like videos to like some archiving stuff to like web stuff and the app. And they're just like overwhelmed. And we want to break up these teams into smaller teams that could just focus on what they're doing. That would be so awesome. Some of you are so talented in our church, but you're sitting on the sidelines. Use your gifts, use your talents, and build up the Church of Jesus Christ. We're praying that 3 new ones will start by the end of April. Also, we're praying that we will see 50% of you prepared to use your spiritual gifts outside of the church. To use your spiritual gifts outside of the church. I'm praying that you will be able to reach out to more people. Quickly here, the M is missions through church planning. 25 people on missions. Right now, this past year, we have 12 people going on missions. We're praying that there will be 25. I believe we're going to be able to do this as we go on the December trip and also on the summer trip that we're going to be having. And then we're praying that at least as we take the survey, that 20% of you will be open to starting a new HMCC site. If we start multiplying life groups and we say we're going to start a site all the way in Sai Kung, I pray that some of you will be willing to move over there or even to help out, to go there, to reach out to more people. That's what we're praying. And lastly, discipleship. We're praying that 80% will be in LCG, which is a life change group. So if you haven't joined the LCG, join one. This is the best way to get discipled and to grow in Jesus Christ. And we're praying for this. Amen? We're praying that there will be 30 baptisms this year. This is a leap of faith. 30. That means that 30 people will come to know Jesus Christ, or those who have not been baptized yet, but then when they came to our church, their hearts were just awakened. And so we're praying that we will see more baptisms in our church. As we close this morning, I want to just give you a few next steps to now ask ourselves, now what, Pastor? We saw these goals. We saw the vision. What do we do now? Let me first say, the first thing that we want to do is adjust your perspective. That means that everything that happens in life, I pray that you will see it with God's sovereignty, that He alone is able to do immeasurably more, and to begin to change your perspective on your situation. That takes faith. That takes trust in His word. So make that a commitment. I'm going to adjust my perspective to no longer see things from my own way, but from God's perspective. The second thing is this, to align your priorities that are consistent with the kingdom of God. We're so glad that many of you are coming from all different backgrounds, but I will say this. As a pastor, as somebody who really wants to see disciples being made in our church that reflect what we see in the Bible, some of our priorities are so offline. What I mean by that, it is not lined up with the priorities of God. And I think this is one of the issues that I see all the time. And like I said, we're busy people. We have so many other things going on. But if you don't value the things that God values, if you don't prioritize the things that God prioritizes or He thinks is important, then our whole life, no matter how much you try so hard, it's going to land at the wrong place. I want to challenge us to begin to really ask ourselves, God, how can I align my priorities in such a way that it matches your heart, matches your kingdom? Those of you who are students, study hard, but also don't make it your God. Some of you are saying, I'm so busy, but I realize because you spend a big chunk of time just on social media and just goofing around. In college, the busiest time, I was taking about 20 credit hours. I was doing a lot of stuff with church. I was totally overwhelmed. This was probably the hardest year, but I did the best academically. You know why? Not because I was smart or anything like that. It's because I was focused. Because I knew I didn't have much time. So every moment that I had, I did not goof around. I knew why I was doing what I was doing. So let's stop making excuses. Some of you, now please don't misunderstand me. I'm gonna make you uncomfortable. Are you ready? Turn to somebody next to you. He's gonna make you feel uncomfortable. Get ready. Those of you who are students, and you decide you're going to join all these societies and all these clubs, let me just ask you, challenge you, why? Bottom line is because you want to pad up your CV. That means that, now don't misunderstand, do it if God calls you to do it. But if you don't trust in Him and you're doing it because you were trying to control your future, then there's something wrong. Because you can't come out to life group. You don't have any time to serve. You don't have any time to reach out to people who are lost. Your whole life is about you, your future, your CV. There is no glory in that. There are some of you, God will call you to join certain societies, and which are good because He's going to put you on a mission. But don't use God's name for your own self-centered purposes because you want to get into this school or you want to get this job and you're trying to pad up your CV. That just shows you don't trust in God. And you know what's going to happen? And I've seen this time and time again, doing this for 21 years. I've seen this over and over again, that they pad up their CV and they can't find a job. And other people who have balanced their life with all the other stuff, you know what? They're the ones who find jobs and they're like dumbfounded. What happened? It's because you did not fully trust in God. You trusted in yourself. Those of you who are single adults and working, or even married couple, that's the same thing. We're busy with a lot of things because there are things that we want. Maybe we're, once again, have to ask ourselves, where is our priority? I understand that sometimes your boss or sometimes a company is requiring you to do certain things. That's totally understandable. But once again, we've got to check our hearts. Why are we doing what we're doing? If it's not aligned to the priorities of God and the kingdom of God, then we've got to ask ourselves, why are we doing this? We've got to repent and come before God humbly. And lastly, we've got to ask God to use us. Let's pray that God use me. If there are close to, 7.3 billion people in this world, use me to reach out to at least one. Let's pray for that. God, use me in my life group. God, use me in this church. Use my talents. Use my resources. Use me, because I don't want my life to be wasted away. I only have one life, and I want to use it for your glory. I pray that that will be the case. We're going to close with this quick video. And this, once again, is the reason why we do what we do. And I pray that all of us will partake in God's mission here on this earth. Let's watch this together. Let's stand together as we... Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap offering for that. Can we just bow our heads, and as we close here... Why don't you just take a deep breath, and that breath that you just breathed in, that was from God. The life that we have, this one life, that's from God. I don't know if you're like me sometimes, where you just get up and you ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Some of us, we get up and we do the same thing over and over again, and there's no joy, there's no passion, there's no purpose. And I'm telling you right now, if we would learn to know the heart of God, do what we're created to do, to glorify Him, to live for Him, to worship Him. And that could come in so many different forms. You don't have to go all the way to China. You don't have to go to Liaoning or Kunming or any of these other places. But right here in Hong Kong, in your universities, right here in Hong Kong, in your workplace, in your flat, wherever you live, in your dorm room, there are people who are lost. 7.3 million people here in Hong Kong. 100,000 students in the 8 government-sponsored universities. 1.9 million single people here in Hong Kong. 2.5 million households that are represented here in Hong Kong. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are always few. This is why we do what we do. We want to see lives being transformed so they could transform the world. And if we can see that happening in our life groups and in our church, then we know that we're going to be able to multiply campuses and churches and cities just around the world to reach the next generation among the nation. God, I just pray that we will not waste our lives. Some of us, we're building things that will collapse because we're building it for ourselves. I pray, Lord, with the one life that we have, that we can use it for your glory. Whatever it is, Lord, it might just start off with just being nice to somebody in our class or in our workplace. Build that relationship and invite them to life. Or even to a Sunday because they're searching, looking for the message of hope. For some of us, it's learning to just reach out to people and share the love of Christ randomly on the elevator or wherever we meet them, Lord. For some of us, you're going to call us to go further to different places. I just pray, God, that with the vision and the mission you've given us as a church, that you will give us the strength. You will give us the endurance. You will give us the focus that we need. Help us to start with prayers. Prayers that begin to inspire boldness and increase boldness. Prayers, Lord, that is focused on you and our faith is in you and your word, so that we could gain the perspective that we need to experience your power in our lives. So God, we have nothing to fear because you are near. You're right here with us. And your purposes are very clear to us. May we reach the world with the gospel message, with the gifts and talents you've given us, and all that we have. Church, let's close up.